This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Three Man Front.
The stairs continue here at work for Langston Roberts. If you did not see my tweet before the show, head to toe, he is ready to go for the Braves today, coming up in 1 hour.
Apparently on the other side of the building during the break, I had to run over that way, and I passed two salespeople. Great salespeople. We appreciate our great sales staff here at Cumulus. And it was that awkward, you know, they were in conversation, and they kind of looked up and casually said, hey, and then they did the double take, and then it was just an awkward silence.
They didn't get the memo that they were supposed to address in their...
Why in the world? They probably don't know my name. Why in the world is he wearing...
Now, see, if Cole was here this week, I know he's on, you know, spring break, he'd be wearing a Yankees jersey. McElroy has been doing the show remotely. He had been wearing a jersey, the Dodgers. He's a Dodgers fan. Conrad's got his Yankee on. I got my Cardinal. You got your Braves. Damian's walking around with the Cincinnati Reds jersey. Matt McLaren, I have not seen him yet. I suppose he'll be in his
cowboy hat,
Texas Rangers uniform.
Holster. You know, what's funny about Cole is And growing up, he was a huge Pirates fan.
Yeah, I always convenient. Was confused because he's a Steelers
convenient
fan.
When Bonds left and the likes of Andy Van Slyke and basically the Braves crushing their dreams in the early 90s, he switched over to the Yankees.
Imagine that. Tonight, the NIT championship game can be heard over on Jocks 2 100.5. That's an 8:40 tip. Pregame show starts at 8:10 with David Crane, him and Mo Finley. On site there in Las Vegas at Orleans Arena as the University of Alabama Birmingham Blazers look to do something they've never done before, which is win an NIT championship. It would be their 30th win on the season. They've already set a school record in the number of wins on the year. They're 29-9, so they would go 30-9 with a victory against North Texas, who they've already played three times. North Texas leads the series this year 2-1, winning once at Bartow, once in Denton, and then UAB. Took care of business there in the CUSA Conference Championships.
It's going to be a fun game tonight. UAB currently a 2.5-point favorite, and if they can get the kind of start that they got in the Conference USA tournament where they started off on the 22-2 run, got to like their chances. Also, if you get the kind of output, even half the output from a Ty Brewer who only scored 2 points in the previous game versus North Texas, he had 30 points the other night, and then you get Jelly being Jelly-like, and then Gaines, and obviously I'm not going to go through the whole roster, but... You like UAB's chances, but it is important to remember defensively, North Texas.
Very good.
Very good. There's a reason why Wisconsin went scoreless for 9.5 minutes.
Talk that Coach McCaslin will be heading to Texas Tech. That is the hot name. Texas Tech has been waiting around for North Texas season to end to probably make an official offer to him, just like what happened to Utah Valley's head coach
maybe
the other
night. It's a good omen, though, right?
So maybe he's got his eye off the prize.
Yeah.
Maybe he's thinking about going to Lubbock and...
We call it a Fran.
And buying Tommy Tuberville's old house as opposed to thinking about UAB.
Baghdad. That was the Fran thing, though, right? It's kind of where Fran and before the Iron Bowl, and when they got beat, I think, 17-7? Was that the final score when he had already basically moved to College Station to take that job?
It was just rumors and innuendo. I'm not going anywhere.
Guys, it's all about confidence. Confidence knowing you're going to be ready to go when your partner is, and confidence in knowing you're going to be able to go a few extra rounds when needed. How about our friends at Blue Chew? It's a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets are a performance enhancement for the bedroom, and they can help us guys gain extra confidence when it's time to perform. So, being an online prescription service, Blue Chew, that means no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers. Once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days, and the best part, it's all done online. So, here's the deal. The special deal for you, our Jocks listeners. Try Blue Chew free. Use our promo code Jocks at checkout and pay just $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Jocks, that's J-O-X, and receive your first month free. Raise banners and cut down nets in your bedroom. BlueChew.com.
If you saw the picture that I sent out prior to the show, I mentioned it, Landrum wearing his full gear for the Braves. We also talked about the fact that He is still in the need of getting a Chief Nakahoma tattoo after the Atlanta Braves won the World Series. He said if the Braves were to win, he would get one. He has yet to get one because of everything else that has happened in the world and finances, not your own personal finances.
You can,
but
you
just
can go
inflation.
Ahead and you can blame my wife. You can blame Dorothy.
I'm not going to blame Dorothy. She's a wonderful woman. I'll blame you for it, not her. But we've had a lot of response on Twitter, social media, and the text line, 205-834-9450. And we were talking about Nakahoma, but Gary tweeted in at us, Landrum, and says, you guys talked about Chief Nakahoma today, but are you hardcore enough to remember Brother Francis, the guy with the monk robe? I do not remember that. Brother Francis,
okay.
According to Gary on Twitter.
For some reason, I do not remember Brother Francis, but...
So this was before Nakahoma?
It was. I was born in 79. I remember watching the Braves. I think it was around 84. I remember my first Braves game. That's really when I just started remembering anything in my life. But, Bob Kelly, his alias was Brother Francis. And he led cheers in a monk suit at Braves games.
How about that? Huh. Okay. So, Gary, educating us here on Three Man Front. Joining us now on the Bud Light Hotline, he does this each and every week with us, talking Alabama Crimson Tide sports, is Rodney Orr from Tider Insider. Rodney, I hope you've had a good week. Let me start with the baseball question. I know you're originally from Texas, correct?
I grew up there, yes.
So were you a baseball fan growing up? Did you have an allegiance to a specific team?
I did, but it wasn't a team from Texas.
Uh-oh. Who was it? The Yankees?
I'm a little older, so I was really a big fan of the Oakland A's back in the day in the early 70s. Reggie Jackson, that
Joe
group.
Rudy, that group, Gene
Joe
Tennis.
Rudy, yes, Vida Blue.
Raleigh Fingers,
you name it. A Catfish Hunter.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Sal Bando.
That was good. Well, they won three in a row, right?
I think so. Yeah.
So
yeah,
was it 72 through 75, something like that?
Exactly. Yes. They were the team back in the day.
Man. So
now it's all about feral cats and
and other things that happen in the state. Well, I'm always curious about this. Was it one thing that gravitated you to that franchise? I mean, did you go to a game? Was it just because you saw them on TV? Like back then, what was the reason why you became an A's fan?
You know, it's a funny thing. First of all, you know, you asked me, I'm originally from Texas. No, I'm originally from Mobile, but I grew up in Texas.
Right.
So when I moved there in the 60s, mid-60s, I despised everything about Texas, so I didn't like any of their teams.
Okay.
So I gravitated towards teams outside the state of Texas, and the A's were just a team that I liked their uniforms. If you remember back in the day, they wore all kinds of different uniforms.
They had the best combinations. Now, in the late 70s,
incredible.
The Pittsburgh Pirates tried to mimic that, but the A's had the best. They had the Kelly green. They had the white on whites. They had the yellows. I mean, it was not a better look in the 70s than what the A's did.
You know, something else I liked was their owner, Charles O'Finley, if you remember him.
Yep.
He used to wear a houndstooth hat himself.
He did.
Remember that?
I do. And I wonder if it had anything to do with the fact that he used to own the Birmingham minor league franchise.
Oh,
remember
I
that?
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. I know he and Coach Bryant had a pretty good rapport, I think. But, I liked his houndstooth hat. I just liked their team. And, you know, that's just kind of the way it was.
Are you still an A's fan today? No.
No, not really. You know, I'm not really, in that regard, a fan of any. Actually, the funny thing is, as much as I despise the teams in Texas, and I'm talking about across every sport, I actually now like the Dallas Cowboys and I'm an Astros fan.
Okay.
To some extent.
Okay. Rodney Orr joins us from Tider Insider, just with it being Major League Baseball opening day. Just thought we'd go down that road because I'm not sure how many people have ever heard you talk about baseball from that aspect. So it's always interesting to get that take. Well, the last time we talked to you, Rodney, last Thursday, we all believed that this Thursday we'd be talking about the Alabama basketball team heading to Houston, Texas, playing in their first ever Final Four. Just your thoughts on what took place last Friday as the magical run for this Alabama basketball team came to an end.
You know what? It's a what an incredible season they had. I mean, obviously, first team in Alabama basketball history to win 30-plus, you know, 31-6. The SEC champions, regular season and tournament, second time in 3 years, all of those things. You know, it's just a great historical season in a lot of respects. But I do think, you know, the way it ended kind of left a bad taste in a lot of Alabama fans' mouths. You know, I think it was kind of like Final Four or bust in a way. And so there's a lot of disappointment that they did not, you know, get to that point. But at the same time, you have to look back at it and say it was a fantastic season.
Rodney Orr, Tider Insider, joining us. His weekly spot here on Three Man Front. And he joins us, as all of our guests do, on the Bud Light Hotline. So you get to monitor and sometimes babysit the message boards there at Tider Insider. I would like to know what fans were saying about Alabama's, I mean, the jinx. Did that come into it? Superstition about Alabama all time in Sweet 16s being 1-9 in that record, and just overall, you said the disappointment, but the future of the program, was it optimistic or maybe 50-50 on where fans were?
No, I think the one thing that you know, the initially, okay, as the game was going on, of course, you know, one of the hot topics was officiating, of course.
Oh, yeah. I saw where it was the worst officiated game one particular fan had ever seen.
Yeah. And so, but no, it was a really physical game. I mean, especially from San Diego State's standpoint. I mean, you know, you look at them and they just played very physical. And, you know, you have to hand it to them. Their hands defensively were incredible. They were nonstop defensively in that regard. You know, but I think there was a lot of fans that said, hey, look, let's look at San Diego State. They've got how many seniors, how many guys?
Oh, yeah.
23, 24 years old versus the youth of Alabama. I think those were kind of the takes there after the game. But, you know, I just thought Alabama, honestly, got out-hustled, got out-physicaled. You know, and I thought San Diego State played extremely well. And once again, it goes back to what we've talked about. It really doesn't matter what that name is across the jersey. You know, these teams, when you get to that level in the NCAA tournament, you're going to be facing really strong competition, and I think that's what we saw.
In regards to the football team, spring practice is well underway there in Tuscaloosa. We heard Nick Saban at the lectern the other day, in which he was asked about the quarterback situation. Do you believe that that is going to be what most fans are going to gravitate to as far as the competition level goes, and where those two gentlemen are going to be at the end of spring?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, first of all, Landrum, I'm sorry I missed the second part of your question. No, I think they're very positive about the future of Alabama basketball. I think everyone's, as far as Nate Oates, the direction he has this program and the way they recruit and, you know, bringing in transfers, I think everything's really positive. But as far as, you know, Pat, your question on the quarterbacks, look, I, you know, just following it, trying to pick up some tidbits. Obviously, we don't even have a brief media viewing period anymore, so it's difficult to even, you know, make any personal observations other than the feedback that you get. But I think right now, and I thought Nick Saban's comment after the first practice was kind of revealing. He said, when talking about the quarterbacks, the importance that they develop, that he likes the players around them. So he feels like the quarterbacks are going to have a great supporting cast, obviously. And I think that that's the real key to me as I look at this team, is the quarterback position. I mean, if Alabama wants to get to where they've been before, somebody's got to take on that responsibility of playing that position at a very high level. And, you know, the question is, you know, you look at Milroe, for example. I mean, guy's an incredible athlete. The question is for him is he going to become a consistent passer? And I think Ty Simpson, he has all the tools. But how can he, you know, kind of develop? How quickly can he develop and become a consistent player at the position? And then you've got the two young guys, Eli Holstein, Dylan Lonergan. Heard a lot about them, a lot of really positive buzz this week. I've heard about both those guys, extremely strong arms. But again, they're young. They've got a lot of developing to do. So it's going to be really interesting. I think that's the position right now as I look at this team. That's the real key position, you know, that because I do think this team has a chance to be really good, but they're going to have some really good quarterback play.
Rodney, and this is strictly your opinion, but if there is not a clear, defined number one quarterback at the end of spring, what do you think the possibilities are that either A, Jalen Simpson, or B, Ty Simpson enters the transfer portal?
No, I think that's look, the way it's changed, and it's not just those two, but just around the country. I mean, if you're in this situation, you're in a competitive situation. I don't think there's any doubt that one of those two guys, if they don't say, you know, look, I feel real confident about where I am, it's going to be hard to keep them both around to compete in August, because I think, to be honest with you guys, I think schools are lining up. I really do. I mean, I think there's schools that are interested in both of those guys, to be honest with you. That's just the way it is nowadays. And if a guy thinks he can go somewhere else and be that guy immediately, and he has question marks about where he is right now, I don't rule that out. Now, I'm not predicting it, but I think it only stands to reason that if someone feels like their opportunity is better right now somewhere else, that, yeah, there's a good chance they could jump in the portal.
In regards to what you're looking at from other position groups during the spring, quarterback's always going to be the top one. Is it the secondary that you're looking at in regards to what's going to maybe kind of I know Malachi Moore is going to probably have to go to that strong safety position as something he hadn't played since high school instead of the star position, or other areas in that secondary? Is that the other area or the position group that you're looking at for this spring to try to get an idea of what's happening?
Yeah, because, you know, they lost so many back there with a lot of experience. Helms, Battle, you know, Brian Branch at the star position, you know, Eli Ricks, even though he only started the last half of the season, still he was a veteran player and was really good at the end of the year. So they've got a lot to do back there. I mean, you've got Kool-Aid coming back. You know, who's going to be the other corner? Where are they going to position Terrion Arnold? Is he going to stay at corner where he started early in the season? You know, you got a lot of other guys that are competing there. Antonio Kite, you know, Desmond Ricks is a true freshman, and you've got other guys. And you mentioned Malachi Moore. Thankfully, he's got a lot of versatility. He can play a lot of different spots in that secondary, and he's got a lot of experience. And then you've got guys like Christian Story who've kind of been waiting their turn at the safety spot. So that's going to be really interesting. I think Caleb Downs, the five-star true freshman from the state of Georgia. We've talked a lot about him. I think he's a guy that he could earn a real significant role in that secondary. A guy locally there from Thompson in Alabaster, Traquan Fagans is another guy at the corner spot and has some versatility to play some other positions. So I think they've got a lot of guys, you know, a lot of really talented guys. It's just some of them aren't very experienced, and I think that's going to be the key. And you look at the secondary, I mean, I think, you know, that's going to be one of the main priorities this spring, is trying to develop those guys for next year.
A few more moments with Rodney Orr of Tider Insider, TiderInsider.com, at Tider Insider on Twitter, joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. A lot of recruits have been visiting Alabama. We look ahead to the next class. It never ends for Nick Saban and the recruiting cycle, but what are some of the big names you think Alabama has at the top of their list as far as prospects?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, they're in on guys all over the country that are just flowing, you know, in on going to flow in on visits later, especially. I think during the summer camp's going to be, you know, really interesting to see, you know, who they get, who they attract in here. But, you know, they've got some guys committed. I mean, Julian Sayans, a five-star quarterback that obviously has come back on a visit. He's firm. So that's really where you start. And I think you've talked about the in-state battles quite a bit, you know, when we've talked Landrum, and I think it's true. I mean, I think, you know, Perry Thompson's been committed to Alabama from Foley, outstanding wide receiver. I think he's solid, but, you know, Auburn's certainly pushing. He's visited there. You know, Jalen Mbakwe from right there at Clay Chalkville is one of the most – he's extremely versatile, top-notch prospect, obviously. I mean, you know, you've got to be able to hang on to these guys. One guy that I think, and I'm really interested to see, you know, how this unfolds, is DeMarcus Riddick, who's probably a linebacker on the next level from Chilton County. You know, he's committed to Georgia. You remember last year, Rock McElderry, now Rock Montgomery, was committed early to Georgia as an offensive lineman, and he flipped Alabama eventually. And, you know, Riddick's a guy that Alabama continues to pursue. But it's going to be real interesting to see, you know, how this in-state, because there's a lot of really solid players in the state of Alabama. So it's going to be interesting, I think, watching some of these battles between Alabama and Auburn as this really unfolds. But overall, I mean, it's still, you know, just so early.
It really is. Rodney, we always appreciate your time. Great stuff. And in case you're interested in rooting for another baseball team, we got the Braves and first pitch coming up at 12:05.
We also got the Cardinals at 3:10. So just a couple other franchises for you to look at.
Atlanta's closer, easier to get to. And they have SEC night, so you can get you an Alabama hat.
Well, you know, a lot of people in this area still are Cardinal fans because it used to be the team, you know, KMOX out of St. Louis.
That's
you used to pick that up at night.
No doubt about it. And they had more back in the old days. Major League Baseball did not limit the number of minor league teams that you had. And the Cardinals had more minor league teams in the Deep South. So that's another reason.
Rodney, it all makes sense now. The reason that Pat is such a diehard Cardinals fan and not a diehard Braves fan is he grew up when the Braves were in Boston.
Ah, there you go.
Back in the 1800s.
Landrum thinks I'm like, he thinks I'm like 80 years old.
Well, some days you act like you're 80 years old, but.
Well, I heard Landrum say he was born in 1979.
Yes.
So, you know, he's really young. He missed a great run there.
He sure did with
Alabama.
I'm not a millennial, but I don't think I'm the other one either. I'm like stuck in the middle. I don't even know what generation that would be, but oh well. 70s. Hey, late 70s, great time. Your Oakland A's, I was looking at some of those uniforms that they used to sport. Man, that was some good looks.
They wore white cleats, too.
Yes, I know. I know.
Right. And the reason I remember Gene Tennis is because Gene Tennis played on the 82 Cardinals that won the World Series. He was a utility guy.
So, yeah.
Good catcher. Really good.
Yep. Played first base some, too, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Well, Roddy, we always appreciate the time. Enjoy baseball season. Enjoy spring practice. Enjoy the transfer portal, NIL recruiting.
Yeah, I'm sure Rodney loves the transfer portal.
Yeah.
Don't we all? Thanks, Rodney. Have a good week.
Okay, guys. Take care.
That's Rodney Orr joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste. When there's fun, Bud Light is there. The USFL champs are back in Birmingham to defend their title. Get your tickets now for the 2023 season. Ticket prices start at just $10. The Stallions kick it all off on April the 15th. Coach Skip Holtz, Jamar Smith, Scooby Wright, and the Stallions look to run it back at Protective Stadium. Don't miss out on the hottest ticket in Birmingham. Buy your Stallions tickets today. Go to theusfl.com.
And we got Major League Baseball today, the NIT Championship tonight. You want to get into Twin Peaks right there in Hoover or in Huntsville for our listeners in North Alabama, you can do that. And here's the good news. They got you covered for Lent. You can try the fish and chips bundled with a 22-ounce draft for a steal on Fridays. Or you can reel in one of the other seafood options like the blackened fish tacos, shrimp Caesar, and the char-grilled salmon. Twin Peaks, never settle.
When we come back on Three Man Front, I've got some questions for Conrad and Landrum. That's next. Pat Ponders on Three Man Front. Keep it tuned right here for the Matt McLaren Show. From 12 noon until 2 o'clock, the Paul Feinbaum Show from 2 to 6 right here on Jocks 94.5. We're going to be live tomorrow at Local Roots there in Vestavia, so stop on by. Are you going to be wearing your baseball gear tomorrow?
No, not tomorrow. Maybe a Braves t-shirt, but hopefully I'm wearing UAB gear and celebrating an NIT championship.
That's right. Tonight, 8:40 tip-off. Pregame shows at 8:10. Also on Jocks 2 tonight.
You know, I do like the John Fogerty song, Center Field. I'm just wondering, who is he referring to when he's talking about the brown-eyed, handsome man rounding third? Do you know? I'm being serious.
No, I don't.
Okay, I didn't know if it was a reference to a player or just some random.
Is your hair black or brown, Landrum?
It's brown.
I don't know.
The eyes are hazel this time of year. The pollen kind of lightens them up a little bit. I don't know if you can tell. Yeah, they're kind of glistening. Don't wear the golden sombrero for lunch. You keep striking out for lunch, the golden sombrero. You know what that is, Pat, right? Baseball reference?
That's an ofer.
That is that
striking
not only
out.
Striking out every single time you get to the plate? We might see one of those today, but don't strike out when it comes to lunch. Get into Social Taco right there in the square in Homewood. Social Taco, Taylor and Dave, they are kicking out great food as they always do, whether it's Soho Social, whether it's Soho Standard, now Social Taco. Get in, enjoy all the favorites, great in-house made tacos, the great entrees. Also, if you want to go with a Mexican pizza, they have five different varieties to try from. Everything made from scratch there in-house. The salsas and the chip, always free. You want to go queso, you want to add stuff to the queso, you can do that as well. There's stuff for the healthy person, if you want to eat healthy, maybe watching your weight, or your kids are picky eaters. They can do that as well. The soft serve ice cream, don't forget about that for dessert. Social Taco, go to socialtaco.bar. It is time for five questions that Pat has prepared for myself and also Conrad. This is Pat Ponders.
I want to know what you're thinking. Tell me what's on your mind.
It's time for Pat Ponders.
And it's always brought to us by friends at Alabama Roofing Professionals, 205-722-ROOF or alroofpros.com.
All right, we've been talking about it off and on for the last hour and a half, but how excited are you guys that today is opening day of the Major League Baseball season? I'm going to give you some options. Are you extremely excited, pretty excited, or just a little excited?
Do I really need to respond? I'm in full uniform. But yes, I am really, really,
You're extremely excited.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. This is one of my favorite days of the whole year.
Very nice.
Mine as well. And this is great that we're all this passionate about it.
And at least for the three of us, we all have teams that at least appear to have a realistic shot of, you know, making a good run and having a shot at winning a World Series, unlike, you know, Damian and Matt.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. I think the Texas Rangers are going to be, it should not be a surprise to some people, but I do think the Texas Rangers stand an excellent shot of making the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they have a good wild card shot.
You know, I just feel for the franchises, and I was critical because I know the Braves leaned on their farm systems, but going into a season when it's your team and you love that team and you know that they have absolutely just gone out of their way not to do anything in the offseason.
See it in SEC play. You get people all fired up about their SEC football team, and they play the whoever's, you know, the teams, the cupcakes at right. the beginning, and they start off, you know, 3-0, and then they get into the SEC part of their schedule, and then all of a sudden they're 0-2 in league play, but they're 3-2 overall, and kind of
you taking a shot at Vandy.
I was actually thinking of Vanderbilt. That's exactly who I was thinking of.
When they ran away from Hawaii in that first game, and then what, Gardner Webb? And
Vandy's back.
Who else did they
play? Vandy's here for the first time, yeah. Whatever you want to say.
But you know what? Hey, Vandy.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival. Featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
They won, what, five games last year? Yeah. They got to five. Clark Lee, here's to you, Clark.
Question number two. With the Miami Hurricanes in the Final Four, who's the greatest coaching hire in Miami Hurricanes history? Is it Jim Larrañaga, Howard Schnellenberger, or Jimmy Johnson?
Hmm.
I mean, my first instinct would be Jimmy Johnson, just because of what he meant to that football program and how dominant they were during the time that he was there. I mean, maybe if, I don't know, I feel like Larrañaga would have to get to another Final Four and win a title for him to probably be in that conversation. It feels like the easy answer is Jimmy Johnson there.
I do remember when Miami basketball was absolutely putrid and there was nobody in the arena, it was dark, and they were getting blasted every game. It's incredible what he's done. But Howard Schnellenberger, great, pioneering a program, doing what he did. It's got to be Jimmy Johnson. The U, as we knew it growing up, Pat, Conrad, you're younger than we are, but you still knew about the U.
Oh, yeah.
The swagger.
Oh, yeah.
That came with it. Definitely Jimmy Johnson.
Okay. Question number three. Michael Jordan has been owner of the Charlotte Hornets for 17 years. The franchise under Jordan has only 3 playoff appearances, no playoff series wins, and they're 3-12 in the playoffs. Jordan is in talks currently to sell the majority stake of the Hornets. Does his failure as an owner diminish Jordan's legacy in the NBA?
No. I think it's just selective memory. I don't even think about when he should have retired and he was playing for the Wizards. I don't. I just think about the good Jordan years, which most of them were great.
So him being a horrible owner has nothing to do with where he is in the parlance of the NBA and its history.
No, I don't think so. No.
No, I mean, I'm right there with Landrum. Plus, I mean, and I understand he's the owner, and so you have control of a lot of things. But that, I mean, Charlotte, that's a hard place to have an NBA franchise. And
if he would have been, you know, had the things go on in that franchise like a Daniel Snyder, we're talking about something totally different. Or Dolan with the Knicks, but
yeah, none of it makes it seem like he's a horrible person. No. He just, you know, didn't do a great job of running the organization.
By the way, you went. Did you go to the islands for your honeymoon?
I went to St. Lucia.
Well, you went to St. Lucia. So Pat and I, he didn't go for his honeymoon, but we went to St. Thomas. Did you go by Michael Jordan's house in St. Thomas that sits right there on the water?
I did not.
Okay. You would know it if you did.
I'm sure it's quite nice.
It's really nice.
Was it on St. John's or St. Thomas?
I think it was St. Thomas. I don't know. I'd had a few drinks. We were out on the boat. But
you went on the old rum runner tour, huh?
Hell, the driver of the boat might have just told me he was probably tired, ready to go back to port. And yeah, that's his house. Maybe some other millionaire's house. But I think I saw it, and yes, it was very nice.
Hmm. How are the taxes down there? Did you check that out?
No, but I would say that just your cost of living down there is pretty high.
Yeah, it is. But I was talking to a boat owner, and he was from Knoxville, Tennessee, who had come down there. And he was bragging about how he doesn't pay any taxes. I don't know if he was doing that legally or the tax rate was low. Not really sure.
They have fixed rates on cabs too, taxis and cabs. No Uber or Lyft. But if you go and try to rent a car, number one, good luck finding one. Number two, man, check out those prices.
Question number 4, where do you guys want to live when you retire and why?
I want to live on the coast.
Go to the beach.
Mm-hmm. Weather, I really enjoy. I didn't enjoy it as a kid. I was more of a lake kid and not a beach kid. But now that I've gotten older, I really just enjoy the tranquility, the peace of either looking at water, looking at the Gulf, being on the sand, no matter the time of year. One of my favorite times of year is actually September and October. Going down there when everybody's kind of parted and watching football down there. Can't do that anymore. We're pretty busy on weekends. But yeah, I think that definitely that salt life, as the stickers say.
How about you? Where you want to go, Conrad?
I did say Gulf Coast, the Alabama Gulf Coast. I know you're more of a Florida guy, and you like to take your dollars across state lines.
Just, I don't know. Just where we've always gone. I've always enjoyed it more. It's my preference. And not to mention the fact that the Florida Panhandle should be part of the state of Alabama.
You just like that you don't have to pay tax on groceries.
That would be nice, yeah.
Florida state tax, that's right.
Yeah, I would probably go something similar. As I've gotten older, I used to want to move out west somewhere and live out there, but like if I'm going to live in California with the taxes and all the other crap you have to deal with out there, I could get something way nicer in Gulf Shores or like even the 30A area, something like that. And yeah, just be happy, live my own life, be quiet and peaceful, hopefully. And I don't know, maybe in the summer when it got really busy, I would go up north or something.
Yeah. So nobody likes the mountains.
No, I like the mountains.
I would rather live at the beach than the mountains.
Yeah. More options.
Now, if I'm rich and I could have a cabin and go up there a couple times a year, sure, but I don't want to live up there.
Okay, this next question might be a little bit controversial to some. Do you tip when you pick up to-go orders at restaurants?
Yes. I was in the service industry for a long time. And look, I don't hate. I'm not hating or criticizing the people who don't.
Because I don't. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying it might be controversial. I do not.
I do. I was in the service industry. And here's a little secret. Even if you give me crappy service and you're a terrible server and doing what you do, I always think about, I think it was the scene from Reservoir Dogs where doesn't want a tip, and then he gets the lecture on, you know, basically trying to support. You never know that person's situation, what kind of day they're having. But on the takeout, I don't know why, Pat, just now I just feel like it's expected.
Okay.
Maybe I'm too nice.
Now, I'm just playing devil's advocate, and I'm not being ugly.
Please do. Convince me not to
do it. No, I'm not going to convince you one way or another, because you're going to do what you feel you're compelled to do. But do you tip outside if it's not a restaurant and you go get a service done somewhere? Are you tipping those persons? Let's say you get your oil changed. Are you tipping the person that's doing their job of changing your oil?
No, but for some reason, I feel like that's built into the price. But you're right. Yeah. I mean, they're underneath there. Now, that poor guy down in the pit.
Now, my wife is just like you. I get on to her because I will see the debits or whatever, and I'm like...
Now, I'm not tipping 20%.
Okay. Now, that was going to be my question.
Well, neither is my wife.
But $5 is
But I'm just
the
like, you call the order in.
Really?
And we get in our car, we drive to get it, and I pick it up. Why are we tipping somebody for that?
Unless that's they come out on roller skates and they're holding a tray, and that's impressive. And
that's a different story.
Right.
Wait, so you said you tip $5 minimum?
Mm-hmm.
So if you pick something up that was like $12, you'd give them a $5
now
tip?
Now, before brothers,
that's very nice of you.
Brother, I don't know where you've been frequenting, but it's really hard to pay $12 picking up anything these days.
Yeah.
Even to a drive.
But one thing's for sure, I overtip when I am in a restaurant.
Yep.
And just like during the pandemic. Now, during the pandemic, when we picked up food, I tipped like I was in the restaurant, okay? Because they were hit harder.
Absolutely.
Than anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went out of my way to make sure that I tipped them accordingly. But now that we're out of it, and I'm back to calling an order in, and I'm driving down there and dealing with traffic and gas, and I'm picking something up, I'm out.
Well, it's not always the case, but I always think about maybe it's a single mom. Maybe she's got kids at home.
But I go back to what I just asked you. Like, what other industry are you tipping that you go get stuff done?
Well, great. Now you've convinced me. Next time I get my oil changed, I'm going to tip the guy.
But, I mean, whether it's
oil change. Do you tip when you get a haircut? Because I do.
Oh, absolutely.
Or what happens if you're checking out at Walmart?
You tip on a haircut?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I do. I tip very well for a haircut.
No, at Walmart I don't.
So, but you don't know that situation.
You're right. I don't.
You don't know the cashier situation.
That's what I'm saying. Now you've depleted my budget. And I'm going to have to start tipping now. I didn't even think about
it. But since you were, you know, in college especially, you were in the service industry.
I was.
And so you have a different understanding than
I still remember every single student athlete that came in and either bounced a check. Yeah, you could still write checks back then. Or had a card declined. Or ran up a tab and didn't tip a lick.
Yep.
And I never forgot it. Never did. And I don't want to be known as cheap or somebody who doesn't tip.
Yeah, see, I worked in the service industry in college too, and I had a job when I first started where I was in charge of doing a lot of like the takeout orders and stuff. And so you got whatever people tipped, I got 100% of that money because I was the person in charge of the takeout. So a lot of the times when I order takeout, I'll throw in like, I'll tip $2 or something because I know it's not a lot, but let's say you have 20 carryout orders, you know, that's 40 extra bucks in a night. Like, that's not nothing. So it adds up over time. So yeah, I mean, I'll typically tip a little bit, but I'm not as generous as Landrum.
Well, apparently. I mean, it's $5 because, again, I think about inflation. I think about the cost of gas and everything else. And I'm like, what is $2 going to, I guess if you accumulate it over multiple customers,
that's
unless they're Pat coming in behind you.
I knew it was going to be that way. I knew it.
You would do the exact same thing to me if I had answered with that response.
Well, I know, but I was being honest. I could.
No, I appreciate you being honest. And look, I am not criticizing you at all. It's just me, and probably being.
But if you go with your line of thinking about, well, you don't know that person's situation. Well, what's the difference of you going to a grocery store, or a Target, or a Walmart?
Do you guys tip?
You're going to a cashier and you're not giving them a tip.
And it's fair and it's a great counterpoint. Do you guys tip your, maybe you're not in your situation, Conrad?
Do I tip my masseuse?
Garbage collector or mail carrier?
No.
No. Now, my mom and dad used to leave something in the mailbox at Christmas for the mail carrier back in the old days.
Oh, that's nice.
back in the old days. But no, I do not.
I got a, and this kind of put me off a little bit. I did get a note one time in my mailbox, not from the mail person, but it was actually from the waste collection person. Just letting, hey, this is so-and-so. Just want to let you know that pick up your trash daily, and it is Christmas time. Like something to that effect.
Wow.
I was like, wow, that is really forward.
Did you leave anything?
I don't think I did. I don't think I did. But I think
that is,
maybe
that's
I
too
forgot
forward.
About it.
That's too forward, though, I feel like.
Yeah. It's a little bit off-putting. But if they're desperate enough to ask, now I feel bad. Maybe their kid needed an operation. Dadgummit, Pat.
That's today's Pat Ponders.
Brought to you by Alabama Roofing Professionals, 205-722-ROOF or alroofpros.com.
AlabamaProfessional.com, that's another website that you need to know the address to, or the number 205-974-6876. Since 1977, Alabama Professional Services, they've helped homeowners solve the most challenging insect, pest, and rodent problems, from targeted pest control for termites, rodents, and more, to prevention and protection. APS can help you today. Proudly serving Birmingham, Huntsville, and Montgomery. Schedule a free estimate, 205-974-6876 or alabamaprofessional.com. Rob Pate is next, brought to you by Crane Works on Three Man Front. A reminder coming up at the top of the hour, it's the Matt McLaren Show. From 12 to 2 right here on Jocks 94.5.
Well, he joins us every single week. We talk Auburn. And his former Auburn defensive back, Rob Pate, and he joins us courtesy of our friends at Crane Works.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it. Crane Works, Rental Works, yeah! The big dog's got it.
Rob Pate on Three Man Front is brought to you by Crane Works. Lift it, buy it, rent it. The big dog's got it. And now, Rob Pate.
And Rob joins us, as all of our guests do, on the Bud Light Hotline. Happy opening day, Dr. Pate. I would expect that you are in full uniform, as I am.
I'm in full work regalia here. no uniform, but I am happy for you, man. I know this is both of you guys, big baseball guys.
We know that you are not.
You know, I love baseball. I just don't have time to sit there and watch a 3.5-hour game.
That's why we came up with rules for people like you, Rob, where we sped the game up. Spring training games are now 2 hours and 36 minutes, so less than a football game.
That would help. But, you know, I'm used now to travel basketball where the clock always runs. They never call a foul. volleyball where it's, volleyball is quick, fast.
Now, wait a second. I thought most of those volleyball games you get kicked out. Like, you get kicked out by the referees.
No, that's when he's coaching basketball.
Volleyball, let me tell you something. Volleyball has the most ridiculous reffing aspect to it because coaches can't talk to the refs.
What?
So they have to filter everything through the captain. And so the coaches get red carded or yellow carded if they try to have a conversation or get, you know, flamboyant over there on the sidelines. They need to change some rules in volleyball with how you speak to the referee over there.
No, I agree, because I was working an event. This was indoor, and it was a local university, and saw a coach from a particular school get so heated, he got ejected. He went and he slammed open the arena door. And then after the game, two of the parents from that school that had made the trip down followed the other referee out to her car. And me and one of the assistant athletic directors and then three football players ended up coming over and intervening. It was crazy. Volleyball parents are nuts.
Yeah, Rob, y'all are nuts.
Well, I mean, it's one thing when you there's no justice for our sons, but hey, when the justice for our daughters becomes it's avoided, it's a whole nother level. So I guess we just level more.
Yeah. All right, Rob, let's talk a little bit about Auburn spring football. What is your intel telling you right now? What's going on with this Auburn team as they're under a couple weeks under their belt, and it sounds like Hugh Freeze is giving every quarterback the opportunity to make a name for themselves.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that's where the big question mark is going to reside, is what happens at quarterback. And, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, and of course – when I look at the roster, I think most Auburn people would say that immediately we don't believe that the starting quarterback is on campus at this point, just based off of what we've seen from the guys that are there. But the more I think about it, the more I feel like we're doing those guys a disservice to have any sort of grade placed on them playing under Brian Harsin. Just with the way that this program has moved, the needle in every aspect that he's been gone, it's just amazing. And at that position particularly, I just wonder how much of an impact he had on what those guys were doing and how poorly they were doing it. So I still think that, though, that position has to play much better, and I still think that they're not exactly happy with how that's going. But the trenches, I think they look good. They're building some depth at linebacker. I think they really like what they've got at running back. Wide receiver, I still think that they want a guy that can be a true difference maker. I think they've got plenty of guys that they feel good about, but nobody that they really feel like can go out and just take over and dominate a football game. And it's been a long time since Auburn's had that at the wideout position.
Yeah, and talking about the quarterback, I did have a former letterman that went to one of the practices or scrimmages, and they were the indoor, and said that Ashford didn't see a whole lot of improvement, and that they believe that Holden Gariner, it's going to be his job to lose. I don't know what you have as far as the quarterback position and maybe Robbie Ashford not winning the starting job.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, Robbie has a hard time staying healthy. You know, it seems like he's constantly battling shoulder issues, and we know the type of way that he plays the position. He's going to take hits. I mean, he's going to utilize his leg. It's his greatest asset, which means he's going to take some shots. And I respect that about him, but I also know that that's a detriment to your team when you can't stay healthy and you can't deliver an accurate football. I've heard that T.J. Finley has been really accurate and has thrown some good balls.
Oh, boy.
You know, again, he's a guy that you look at and you're like, man, there's no way he can go out there and be the starter. And is that the unathleticism in him, or is that the, you know, the Brian Harsin in him? I don't know at this point, but my gut tells me that the quarterback's still not on campus. I still think that after spring ball, there's going to be some transfer openings that they'll go after and lock in and see if they can't get somebody ready to play for the beginning of the season.
In about 10 seconds, tell us about our friends at Craneworks.
Hey, man, Craneworks, if you need a crane, if you're in anywhere in the Southeast, they can get what you need. Equipment rental, they're the greatest team in the industry. They'll get the job done correctly every time. So if you need that, give the big dog a call or visit them over at craneworks.com.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.